Talk about a problematic scripture lesson. This is one of those things that academics like to call a difficult text, although in this case I think that is a bit of an understatement. You know, I suspect that only a few pastors actually chose to preach on this passage this morning. Why? Well, because love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, or even worse, pray for those who abuse you. Just how big of a fool does Jesus think I am? These words, not only they're outrageous, but these words offend me. Even more so. These words of Jesus can be dangerous. They can be easily taken out of context and used in order to oppress someone or inflict pain. Believe me, I would have much preferred to preach on something else this morning. This is more of a Bible study topic, in my opinion, something to ponder about and wrestle with and discuss around the table in a group conversation, not from up here. A preacher in the pulpit, and everyone else down there. But here we are this morning. So let me just say, today's gospel doesn't sound like much of a gospel to me. It doesn't sound like much of a good news to me. In fact, what this sounds like to me, it is almost as if Jesus is asking us to become doormats, as if he is asking us to endorse pain, to endorse suffering. Who needs that? Who wants that? But who knows? Maybe he's saying these words. Maybe he is imploring us to hear him out, precisely because there's so much pain and so much suffering around us. And really, what an appropriate scriptural lesson, especially given everything that's surrounding the general conference. Do you know the Message Bible? Have you ever read it? The Message Bible is a paraphrase of the original Greek New Testament. So, because I've been struggling with the scripture, I went right there to look what Eugene Peterson, what he had to say, and this is what the message says. Love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, pray for them. Live the same way God lives towards you, generously and graciously. And God does so even when you're at your worst. God is kind. Be kind also. Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Don't condemn those who are down. And be easy on people around you. You will find life a lot easier. You will find life given back with blessing. Because giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. The end of quote. So given this perspective, the overall message of the scripture is not to become a doormat, but to break down the stereotypes and the walls that we have so diligently built in order to keep distance from others, be they strangers or sinners or enemies. Or those people who are different than us. You know, those people whom we stigmatize, whom we pigeonhole and judge and label and gossip about and point our finger at. Do you know what happens when we do this? Doing this, we remove their humanity, which then releases us from the moral obligation to treat them as we would treat our own family or friends. So Jesus here is not saying that anything goes. What Jesus is saying is that no one should be written off. No more keeping the score. No more denigration. And yes, let's be real. There may be people who will not like us. People who will in fact hate us or dislike us or despise us. Or even people who will hurt us. Those who will dispose us because we're not good enough. Do not hate back. Do not let the other person dictate your response and determine your actions, is what Jesus says. We know that our communities will never be uniform. In fact, diversity is a good thing. It is God's gift to us. So there will always be people who hold different worldviews, those who have strong opinions. And unfortunately, there will even be those who get off by hurting others. But our communities could be more unified if only we loved more. Now, actually, let me rephrase this because I don't want to offend anyone here. We're nice people. We're decent people. And I'm not just saying this to, you know, butter you up for some bad news later on. Still, our communities could be more unified if only we loved in a biblical manner. The thing is, there are 6 different expressions in the Bible that are translated into one English word, love. The expression that Jesus uses as he speaks of loving our enemies is a Greek word, agape. And agape does not necessarily mean friendship. It does not even mean liking someone. What agape means is this wholehearted and an unconditional and unreserved desire for the well-being of those around us. And this is precisely how God loves us. There's nothing that God holds back. There is no hesitation, no wavering, no calculation of costs or benefits, no expectation of receiving anything back in return. So to love someone in a biblical manner, as God does, it's much more than just smiling to someone's face, or even much more than being nice. In fact, it takes much more than just being nice to be a Christian, to follow the teachings of Jesus. If you're being wronged, let's say, then yes, you stand up for yourself. You don't just smile and pretend nothing happened. You talk about it. And if you see injustice, then yes, you speak up. Jesus says, you feed the hungry. You clothe those without resources. You welcome the alien. If someone else is mistreated, you open your mouth and you say something, you do something to stop it. That's what it means to follow the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus doesn't say to passively accept abuse. Jesus is teaching us. It's to non-violently resist abuse. Because violence begets violence, but love trumps hate. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. You see, strength eventually fails. Power can corrupt. And a survival of the fittest leaves too many bodies on the ground when you think about it. But love transforms. It changes us. It redeems our circumstances. It unifies our communities. Love creates life. And we know that turning the other cheek or giving your shirt also or responding to hatred with love is no way to get ahead in the world. But then again, that's not what Jesus is about. Quite contrary, actually. Jesus is all about smashing those walls that we have built, all about pushing the envelope, all about stretching our understanding. Because to say, offer the left cheek also, Jesus is not necessarily talking about one of those fights that we may have had as kids. Now, we're pretty fortunate because our girls don't hit each other. Of course, they're experts in the bickering and whining department. But when Andy and I, when my sister and I were little, instead of whining, we would just get in fights with each other. You know, so much so that it was not a good week that one of us would not call mom or dad at work and complain about the other. You know, like, mom, Andy hit me. And then she would jump into the conversation and she'd be like, well, she started it. And I would be like, well, she hit me harder anyways. And we would just go back and forth. Mom couldn't get her work done. This is not what Jesus is talking about. These are not the physical fights that the children get into. Because those who struck you on your cheek in the time of Jesus, and those that took away your coat, were masters and soldiers. So the taking off the coat would be extortion. Just like the striking of your cheek would be oppression, because it was a way a master disciplined his slave. And why people back then, and even now, still believe that owning another human being, or oppressing him, or abusing her, or taking advantage of them is acceptable, that's beyond me. Still, our history speaks volumes, and it convicts us of those evils. So Jesus isn't speaking in a vacuum. The Roman Empire was the context of this conversation that Jesus has had with those who have ears to listen. Palestine, Jews, just like the surrounding peoples and nations, were occupied by the Romans. And cruelty, persecution, slave ownership, extortion, and injustice were common back then. Let's say Roman soldiers, oftentimes to supplement their meager income, they would actually beat and steal from the locals. And of course, this went hand in hand with a strategy of Roman intimidation over the conquered nations. So there was a reason why the soldiers were underpaid in the first place. So being robbed of your coat was nothing unusual for those times. But giving away your inner garment, your shirt, that would leave you naked. So you may be embarrassed, but then again, what is really exposed there by giving your shirt also is the injustice of being robbed of your coat in the first place. This is how we love our enemies. Not passively accepting the evil done to us, but by exposing injustice, by pointing to the wrong that's being done, by challenging the perpetrator. Because Jesus here is offering a way of life in which the powerless can act from a position of dignity that cannot be taken away from them, no matter how others treat them. And the Bible says it clearly. The Bible says we love by protecting those who are victimized and those who are vulnerable. Our Christian tradition, we know, is deeply rooted in the Jewish scriptures. And it's the scriptures of both testaments that emphasize the preferential option for the voiceless. They emphasize the preferential option for the poor, for a stranger, for those who are dispossessed, for those who are living paycheck to paycheck, relying on social assistance. You know, that what so many consider a government handout. But loving in a biblical manner, as God does, it requires of us to work relentlessly for systemic changes so no one is dehumanized, so no one is mistreated or forgotten or overlooked, so no one falls in between the cracks, just like Pastor David prayed this morning. Because loving in a biblical manner, as God does, it also requires of us to call out the words and the actions of chronic commandment breakers, of those who get rich making money off of the poor, of those who model bad behavior, those who spew hatred, and those who endorse violence. Love compels us to do this. Love compels us to resist values and politics and worldviews and policies that harm our country and that harm the people who populate it. Because the love that Jesus is talking about, this agape, is a commitment that we have to each other, even to those who are not like us, even to those who are not on our side politically or culturally speaking, even to those who may be unfriendly to us, or hateful, or hostile. And I'm not saying this is going to be easy. Neither is Jesus, really. Because if I'm finding it easy to be a Christian, all the while mostly living by the standards of our culture, then I'm probably doing something wrong. Because much of what Jesus says, if you read carefully, much of what he says is countercultural. For example, our Christian responsibility to the poor, it pushes against what is commonly understood as the American dream. Or our obligation to protect God's creation goes against the throwaway nature of our society and the consumerism of the 21st century. Or today's fast food spirituality, it stands against a covenantal nature of Christianity, against a commitment to each other. There's something even worse. Those who love as God does, they sometimes die in the process. Jesus did, and so did many who came after him. Still, in the perfect love of Jesus, we can refuse to be terrorized. In his perfect love, we can choose life. And life is at the very core of this ridiculously sounding invitation to love our enemies. Life is why Jesus brings this topic in the first place. That's why Jesus says, do not hate. You know, in whichever way you work through life with all of its dilemmas and questions and its messiness, do not hate. Jesus says, do not go that way, he tells us, because something inside us will die. The very nature of who we're created to be, the very image of God in us, hatred would compromise it. That's what Jesus says. So what can I say? We have a difficult task ahead of us. So perhaps the best way to leave the church this morning is to repeat the words from today's prayer of confession. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess we have been hurt by others. We confess that love and forgiveness and reconciliation at times are just impossible for us. But we know that nothing is impossible for you. Amen.